Well, praise the Lord. Do you love the Lord tonight? Do you love Him with your whole heart? You know, I was thinking about this morning. I don't know why it came to me when I was walking into work. And I guess maybe I was meditating on the way to work and thinking about the three dimensions of God. You know, I don't, it's kind of funny, I never even thought of it till just now, but Brother Varner always used to say, God lives in a what? Three-room house, doesn't He? Three-room house. And, you know, what generated my questions, you know, was really a bumper sticker that said, do you know Jesus loves you, right? And I can remember seeing it. It was kind of a popular bumper sticker for a while, you know, and I remember I always used to think about that. Do you know that Jesus loves you? And once that question really gets answered, right? You know, a lot of folks live in that realm of He loves me, He loves me not, He loves me, He loves me not, right? But the reality is that He loves you, right? But then the commandment changes, doesn't it? Do you love Him? And then He takes it up even another notch, right, into the third realm or the third room, right, third level. Do you love Him with your whole heart? And that is the direction of our lives, is heading towards that, amen? Loving Him with our whole heart, our whole being, spirit, soul, and body. He's worthy of it, isn't He? He most definitely is. Hallelujah. Well, I did get the books. They came in today. I didn't realize they were going to be shipped to me. I thought my dad was going to bring them to me, but I haven't talked to him, so I didn't really know what arrangements he had made. But we ended up with three more books. And like I said, I'm only kind of using it for a guideline, and the real reason I really do feel that the one area I want to get to about was the peace offering, and we'll get there. I just got sidetracked, if that's all right. I've enjoyed it so far. I don't know about you. You know, for me, coming to church has made me feel good. You know, it's not catered just to my feelings, but I really feel God's Spirit talks to us, you know. And one of the things I really like about this, you know, I like that Brother Varner, you know, put it right. I don't have the book with me. I don't really need the book. I personally like taking pictures and putting it on my iPad. So, but I like it, what it says here. Can you, principles of present truth. Right? I don't have room over there. Principles of present truth. Well, most folks are trying to do away with the old. God's trying to show us that there's some present truth, some living reality for you and I today. Present truth. Amen. And we've already looked at it a couple ways, we've looked at many things really, but I want to go back almost to the beginning. And if you remember, there were two statements. The way to God is through sacrifice, right? We know that in Moses' church, the sacrifice was, you know, bulls and goats and lambs, and not just that, but it was also what they called meat, but it was basically just food or meal, right? What they had, right? But the walk of God is what? Sanctification, holiness, right? So it's one thing to come to God through sacrifice. Now, we don't have to do it with bulls and goats. And everybody says, hallelujah. That's part of the law that we do, you know, that. Amen. I'm thinking for most folks that were under that law, that their issue wasn't bringing the sacrifice so much. It was the parameters or the lifestyle that went along with it. But we bring that over in the new covenant, right? And the way to God is still through what? To a living sacrifice. And we really understand what a sacrifice is. You truly have to be sacrificed, right? Are you with me? And the walk is sanctification. It is being separate. It is being holy. God is holy. Right? So, I mean, why would he settle for anything less? If we consider him the thing that's above all things, why would he want to settle for anything less than anything that's above what? All things. Remember what Jesus said? He said, I'm from above, you're from below. But I want to bring you up. Amen? Glory to God. So the way is through sacrifice. That's the approach to God. I love David's mentality. It was the same as his greatest son, which was Jesus. I won't give anything that doesn't cost me something. Right? Has to cost us, doesn't it? And then the walk. I like what Paul wrote. He said, don't just live in the Spirit, walk in it. And then if you walk in the Spirit, you won't do what? Fulfill the lust of the flesh. That's holiness, isn't it? It's holiness. All right. Are you with me? All right. So looking tonight, I want to take some time, and I don't really know how to go about all this. It's interesting that we sang that last song, When I See Your Eyes. You know, I behold your grace. All right? We talked about on Sunday that the animal sacrifices, right? Their job or their intended purpose was to cover sin, right? And what gave them their power to do it was what? They pointed to or they looked forward to Jesus Christ as the sacrifice. We talked about this a little bit on Sunday, right? The truth of the matter is, I believe if you were bringing forth your sacrifice, no matter what it was, you were bringing it forth with a heart toward God and faith. Remember this? Why was Cain's rejected and Abel's accepted? It was faith. Faith. Faith does matter, doesn't it? The just shall live by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And I don't have time to teach on what real faith is, right? It's more than just everything we hear or think it might be. Faith. Faith is more than just to get something, right? If we really come to this understanding, we come to the understanding that we already got ours 2,000 years ago, and now we walk by faith and not by sight so that he can do what? Fulfill every word he ever declared. Approach him by giving of ourselves. Amen. Are you all right? So we understand that the sacrifices look forward to the cross, right? They illuminated the Israelites who would think of the heavenly pattern. The heavenly pattern being Jesus. Remember, Moses, you go down there and build it, and I'll do what? I'll dwell in it. And we saw that happen in the tabernacle. Jesus is the tabernacle. But what he's really doing now is he's bringing forth the tabernacle of a corporate son. A many-membered body, amen. It's done, but it has to be expressed. All right? Are you all right? Well, okay. Now, we already discussed this before, but we'll do it. How many major offerings were there? Five, and five is the number of grace, grace, grace. You know, we hear people say all the time that, you know, we're not under the law, we're under grace. We're under the covenant of grace. But, you know, the reality is, if where's grace originate out of? God. So grace always was. It's not something new. I mean, if we want to go back, I mean, Noah found grace. The truth of the matter is, God gave grace to Adam and Eve. Didn't he? They just didn't walk in it. The same can go for you and I. We have grace, but we must walk in that grace. And grace will never do you and I any good. Watch this, listen to me, without faith. You know, grace isn't just, you know, the unmerited favor of God. It's the enablement of God. It enables us to fulfill His word. But you have to have faith. Oh, and can I throw another ingredient? Obedience into it too. Obedience, yeah. We know what it is, right, Selah? But we don't always. It's not a point of condemnation. It's a point that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godlikeness. Listen, just because grace showed up, I don't know about you, but for me, grace, I love the fact that I don't have to bring an animal in here. I'd rather eat it. Somebody else butchered it. I even like it better when someone else cooks it. And even better if someone else pays for it. Oh, it might not be a sacrifice then. I'll pray over it. That'll be my sacrifice. No, I'm just kidding. But do you hear what I'm saying to you? The truth of the dispensation of grace. We're under the dispensation of grace in God always was. Grace. Grace has brought us this far. Grace will carry us. I won't say much about this, but grace is not a free get out of jail card. And the reason for that is God still expects a way and a walk, doesn't he? The truth of the matter is, if I really truly understand grace, grace brings me into a dimension with God that says, God, the more I see you, the more I behold you. The more I behold you, the more I want you. And the more I want you, I come to this realization. It's no longer I that live, but it's Christ. So five offerings, right? It's the number of grace. The thought of the offerings as a whole is to present man's access to the Father through the person and the work of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you get that? I like this next statement. No one offering. See, this is what I love about God. If I look at him in the facet of a diamond, if I look at him in the facet of a river, if I look at, you know what? There's no one thing that captivates who he is. I might be able to preach one dimension and stay in that whole dimension the whole time. And you will think that's the only thing there is, but oh, there's more. Oh, how unsearchable are his riches. Just about the time man has got him figured out, God just does what? He just moves. Oh, wait a minute. I can remember maybe 10 years ago, a lot of folks were saying, God's just not acting like God's supposed to act. Well, what is that? Right? No one offering could adequately or fully express Calvary's work. So there's five offerings, which I like this, together. Isn't that interesting? Together. If I read this, you know, I start thinking about the body. What good is my body without my feet or my legs? Right? So God puts everything together. Together. So these five offerings, listen to me. I know we're looking at it from the perspective of Leviticus and the old church, but I'm telling you, there's some present reality. What God, there's a spirit about it, isn't there? That God says, listen, they must uniformly work together in order to fulfill the whole. It's like grace, right? Grace without faith. Wait a minute, I thought it was grace without works. It is grace without work, or faith without works. But listen, grace and faith have to move together. See, this is the part I wish we would all get, including myself. It's still this, line upon line. God's building up. Precept upon precept. Here a little, there a little. Oh, Ephesians says, until we all come to the what? Well, are you with me? Until is still a time word, isn't it? The five offerings which together bring out a complete picture of Christ in his atoning work. I've said this for many, many years. I always feel, and you've heard me say this, I got to quit, you know, that's a habit there. I'm telling you, I always feel this way. There's so many different camps with so many fragments of truth. I really do believe that if we come to this understanding that God wants to take. That's why I never liked puzzles as a kid growing up. I still don't like puzzles. But I know how to make pictures out of the puzzle pieces. Amen. And these five offerings can show us how they work together to make a perfect picture of completion. He who endures to the... Right? Complete. What good does it do for me to have faith and grace and not walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lusts of the flesh? Look at murderers, dogs, all these things where we'll beware. Outside the camp. You won't inherit the kingdom of God. So I must come to this understanding. He's that not that way, so I can't be that way. Or I choose not to be that way. Well, what if I fall? See, I don't want to use grace as an excuse because I fall, but I don't want to live in presumption either. And you can't live in condemnation, right? Are you all right? Now, I like how he writes here. The five offerings, you ready? They're the burnt offering, right? The meal offering, the peace offering, the sin offering, and the trespass offering. I like, he says, Genesis. The burnt offering is Genesis. God demanded all of the patriarchs, didn't he? He demanded of them. Why did he demand all? All right, correlate that with the burnt offering. He gets everything, because in the burnt offering, what? Everything gets burnt, all gets burned up, and it all goes to God. Man doesn't get any part of that. My boss always, you know, when my boss, when he took over our group 6 years ago, like we have this evaluation system we call CAP, and one of the things that we used to be able to do is we used to be able to put one of our goals as safety, right? And the minute he came in, he wouldn't let that be a goal because he said that's just the price of entry. The burnt sacrifice, the burnt offering, really is the price of entry into Christ. It starts there where I have to give my all. Not you know, just think about it or lip service it. But I literally have to give my all. And my question is, will I do that right off the bat? We don't. But we can thank God, right? The meal offering is Exodus. Moses lost his identity. He did, didn't he? How did that begin? He was in Pharaoh's house. Right? At 40 years old, he had an opportunity to what? Reign in Pharaoh's house, didn't he? But what did he choose to do? He chose to come out and to associate with what? The people of God. And they didn't like him either, did they? So where did he have to go? Out in the desert. He lost his identity. Right? The peace offering is the book of Leviticus. That's why I really went down this path is about the peace offering, and the principle is of fellowship. Not relationship, but fellowship. What does God want to have with us? Fellowship. You know, it's funny. I didn't really realize I was going to say this. When I was driving home today, you know, I'm stopped at a light, and there was a person with a pickup truck in front of me, and they had a little round bumper sticker like this, and it says, "A dog is the only relative you get to choose." That's what the bumper sticker said. A dog is the only, which I immediately said, well, that's not true, because you do get to pick your spouse, not your mother, your father, your siblings, your children, but, you know, or maybe the bumper sticker was saying the spouse is, I better not say that. Are you with me? It's not about being related to, because relationships can be good or bad. It's like the knowledge of the tree of good and evil. But fellowship can only be one way. It can only be one way. There's no, what can I say it? Two ways about it. Are you all right? But it's the principle of fellowship. And the reason I want to get into this particular one, but I have to go through the others apparently before I do, is because, and I'm doing it for myself too. I'm not just doing it for you. I like the refresher course. But I'm telling you, God is after fellowship. How many can relate to God? We can. But there's a whole new level in fellowship. Can the words be intermingled? Of course they can cross lines. But the reality is what he's really after is fellowship. Watch this. Commune with you. When we what? Eat of his flesh and drink of his blood. That's why it's vitally important to have true communion. I really like this. I never saw the significance of it until Rebecca and Steve got married, and I, even though I did Danielle and Corey's, but the first act a marriage couple does that consummates a marriage is communion at the table. Even though folks think that consummation takes place, watch this. But if there's no covenant, there's no love in it. And the covenant starts where? At the table. Am I right? It starts at the table of communion. Are you with me? And I like this, don't you? It's his table. It's his table. How can you say that? It's his flesh. It's his blood. It was his sacrifice. The only thing I have to do, watch, is eat it. Drink it. Communion. Fellowship. I don't want to, I'm getting bogged down. This is just too good for me. I'm sorry. Just leave me alone if you're not having a good time. But I come to church to, you know, have a good time. Are you with me? And then we have the sin offering, which is Numbers. The remedy for murmuring. The remedy for murmuring. Paul said it this way, that we shouldn't complain, right? That we should be what? Lights in the midst of a what? Perverse and crooked generation. But if I whine and complain about every little thing like everybody else, doesn't matter how much grace I have. Well, God can forgive you. Yeah, of course he can. But he's, you know, it's not just about forgiveness. It's about growing up and being one with him in fellowship and communion. I'm thinking that God's not a complainer. You? In trespass offering, Deuteronomy. I like this. A lot of people give Deuteronomy, especially the folks who preach against the law and the, you know, the law is old and dead and all that aspect. And I understand what they're saying. I have no problem with it. But I like this. If we really understand a present truth, rehearsing the covenant to prevent further trespass and transgression. Watch. If you're rehearsing the covenant, watch. This is why we have a new one. Instead of Deuteronomy, it's Deuteronomy. Are you with me? And there are do's and don'ts. Don't get me wrong. But the reality is this, under the new covenant, the just live by faith, and faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. And I can employ that grace to cause me to walk uprightly and be obedient, that I can become everything that the new covenant has offered us. All in one sacrifice. Amen. Which begins the work that he desires to finish. Are you all right? So rehearsing the covenant to prevent. See, God doesn't give me grace so I can continue. If grace abounds, shall we continue in sin? God forbid. It's not a loophole for me. The reality, it is a magnification of who he is that says, I want to bring you into, watch, can I say it, sinless life? I mean, sin-free, you know. Watch, I have a question for you. I mean, if I'm out living in the world and, you know, I come to Christ and, you know, and I go through that, you know, and the whole works. If I go out and kill someone, did grace stop me from doing it? No. You have to walk by faith, don't you? You have to live by faith. You have to live in his spirit. This is why John says, try the spirits to see if they... Are you all right? Well, okay. Now, the five major offerings are divided into two categories. There's a sweet savor offering, okay? You did notice, right? Now, I mean, I think you guys are smart enough. There's the burnt, right? There was the burnt, the meal, right? And the peace, right? And then there was the sin and the trespass. And those are the non-sweet savor offerings, all right? Do you understand that? We have three sweet savor offerings, and they are voluntary. You do not have to be a burnt sacrifice. You don't have to have fellowship. Did you hear me? You don't have to have the meal offering, do you? Lose your identity. Everybody's, you know, it's an identity crisis. Nobody knows who they are. Listen, it's not about getting an identity. It's about losing one. Because the minute I die, he lives. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. I'm a firm believer that most folks that are after an identity have an insecurity problem in an old man that's dead. I know who I am. And you do too. So a sweet savor offering, right? It's voluntary. I love this gospel. I can choose to do or not to do. You know, everybody worries about, well, can I do this or should I do this? Listen, it's your choice. God was a God of choice from the beginning. Adam, your choice. And the first real act of choice in the New Testament was Judas. Well, what we call the New Testament writings, but anyway. Judas. Judas had a choice. Didn't he? I told you why. Why do we have choices? Anybody? We have a choice, so yeah, we're not, you know, we can't say, well, you forced me to do it. Well, God's really after, isn't he? Is a son-servant heart, isn't he? A son who serves. Amen. And the sweet, non-sweet savor offerings are involuntary. In other words, you have no choice. I have no choice. We have no choice. Hello? There's blood offerings, burnt, peace, sin, trespass, and there's a bloodless offering. It's the meal offering. And there's also, we can subcategorize, there's a thank you or thank offering. It's one cat. And when we do the peace offering, you know, I've already looked through all this because when I first started, I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm going to do the peace offering. Then I started looking at the other stuff. But thank offering, the vow, and the free will. I think I mentioned this before. If you really look at it, this is a 30, 60, 100 realm. Right? I can come to God and I'm thankful for what he did in the sacrifice, Jesus offering himself. I can be thankful and never go beyond that. And I can even vow to him. But there's a whole nother level. Watch this. I'll put it in terms we can talk of, right? How about the tithe or our money, right where we live? I can be thankful that he gives me and I can give back minimum 10%. And then I can give him a vow that I'm going to give him an offering of so much. But then I can take it another step further and give as much as I want. It didn't undo the others. Now, don't misunderstand when I said over here I can give as much as I want. I'm talking about in the hundredfold realm. I'm not talking about down here, here. Are you with me? So there's a thank you, a vow, and a free will. And then we have the wave offering, which is the breast, and the heave offering, which is the shoulder, and the drink offering, which is the outpouring of what? Wine. Now, you might think, none of these things are pertinent for me today. Listen, Jesus poured out his what? Blood, right? Which is a picture of the offering or the of him pouring out. And Paul declared the exact same thing when his life was offered and poured out. Now, fortunately for you and I, but it could be a martyr system, but we're fortunate at this time in stage of the game, if I can use that term, is this, that he's asking you and I to be living sacrifice poured out. No, poured out. Poured out. The drink offering. Yeah, I'll pour into the wine. If I ask you, what is the wine? What's wine represent? It's the joy of the Spirit. Wine effervescence, right? Drink a little wine, get a little happy, right? Smile, guys. I'm trying to make you happy. I want you to feel good after you leave church. Right? It's the joy of His Spirit being poured out of your life. Hello? Do you see how it becomes relevant or present truth? Paul lived it. You and I read about it. We do experience it at times, but he wants us to become a complete drink offering where, watch this, you know, how much wine did Jesus pour out? I mean, how much of his blood? All of it. All of his life. And we already settled this last week, right? Life is in the blood. He who desires to hang on to his life shall do what? You lose it. But if you're willing to do what? Lose your life, you're going to do what? Find it. Is everybody okay? Are you with me? Are you enjoying this? I like this. I like this. You see, the only thing that's ever going to change us is His Word. When it becomes flesh. He writes it where? On the table of our heart, doesn't He? He doesn't write it on stone anymore. He said, I'll take out the stony heart and write it on tables of what? Flesh. That we can be what? Engraved, right? Epistles written and read of all men. Okay. Three of the five major offerings are called sweet savor offerings. We already, the burnt, the meat or meal offering, the peace offering, right? This is why they're called sweet savor offerings, because they typify Jesus Christ offering himself without spot to God in delight to do his Father's will. Even, geez, I got to lay hold of that. The truth of the matter is we still spend more time trying to save our hides. Right. And when you are poured out a complete sweet-smelling offering, right, unto God, it becomes this fragrance. Can I say it like this? That God just, that's like the best perfume in the whole wide world. There's nothing more sweet-smelling to God than a complete, poured-out life. He's not after incomplete. He's after complete. All right? Turn with me. We'll look it up. I know you, Ephesians 5. Take a quick look at that. Ephesians chapter 5. Are you there? Okay, Ephesians 5. Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. All right? He loved us, right? He gave himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to who? Not to me. To God. And because it was to God, it became a sweet smelling savor. All right? Are you all right? Jesus is presented as an offering himself to God, and I like this, without sin. What does sin mean? To miss the mark. I do not want to come short. If Paul would write that I wouldn't be a castaway, all of his deep revelation, all of his understanding, his even meeting him on the road. This is the preacher of grace. A declarer of the abundance of his mercy and love and grace. And he said that I wouldn't be a castaway. Forfeit the prize. Actually, the truth of the matter is, if we understand the word sin, it has the intent of forfeiting. Missing the mark means to forfeit the prize. I can't forfeit the prize. I have grace. His work is viewed, I like this. This is really important here. His work is viewed Godward. What the person and the work of Jesus Christ was to God, namely a sweet savor, this reveals truth that redemption is essentially centered in God and not in man. Everybody thinks redemption's about them. It never was. It never will be. It was all about God having the breach repaired. See, until you and I and everybody else gets this one thing settled in our lives, the center is Jesus, and I'm not talking about it. When we really get a hold of that he is the center, he's the focus, I make every decision based upon him, I guarantee you this, things will begin to change. One of the problems the church at Colossae had was what? Not holding up the head. He's the centerpiece of the table. He's the lamb we eat. You got to eat the whole lamb. You have to eat all the lamb. Amen? Can I say this again? The sweet savor offerings, all right? It shows us that redemption is centered in God. It's centered in Him. It's always been about Him. And it will always be about Him. Do you know why man has centered it in man? Because man thinks he's... And the man of sin sets himself up in the... thinking that he is God. It's never been about us. It's always been about... Well, wait a minute, he loved me. Yeah, he did. I have a question. Seriously, do you think he went to the cross and died because he loved us? Or he loved the Father? Well, the Bible says he loved us. He did. But he really loved the Father. He really loved the will of the Father, didn't he? He loved the Father. And it wasn't, he didn't, the Bible says it was the joy that was set before him. The only thing he could see was what? The Father. Amen. The Father. All right. Turn with me to Romans. We'll take a quick look at that. Romans 11. In case we have any, in case I have any doubts. Right? Romans 11, you there? Verse 36. For of him and through him and to him are all things. To whom be the glory forever. Watch this. Amen. I agree with that. Hello? For of him and through him and to him are all things. That means redemption is centered in him. And it's for him. You mean, are you trying to tell me God needs to be redeemed? No, no, you're missing the point. You're not listening. I'm here to tell you, everything that God does is for him. Everything he does is for him. It's through him, and it's to him. Could you really get a hold of this? Do you know why I go to work? I go to work for him. Do you know why I collect a paycheck? It's for him. You see, if we went to Habakkuk, we find out that they took the king's money and they built their own lifestyles. And now, listen, the old Pentecostal mindset would tell you have to be poor, have nothing, because to have any of these things would be worldly and godly. But what we did, right, we jumped right up out of that ditch and we ran right across the street and got over into this ditch and says, prosperity, it's all mine. He's doing everything for me. That's why, what's my favorite verse? What is my favorite verse? A false balance. That's why grace is wonderful. I mean, I could swing that thing way out here, but I could swing it so far that tells me I can do whatever I want, whenever I want, wherever I want, and God will forgive me anytime I want. When we never understood one thing, that repentance, the Bible says, is a gift. Yikes. Or I could swing it all the way over here. No, God is, he's the balance. He's the one that stands. He keeps and holds. Because why? It's for him. It's through him. And it's to him. What is all things? And it's for what? To him, to whom be the glory. How long? Forever. All of our yea should be yea, and everything should be what? Yea and amen. Amen. I agree with that. Are you all right? Okay. All right. So we have the three of the five major are called what? Sweet savor offerings. And they are voluntary. I don't have to do it if I do not want to. Right? Will God hold it against you? Nope. He will not hold anything against you that is voluntary if you do not do it. You understand that? But you'll come into a place because of grace, walking by faith, that you can't help but volunteer. And the other two major offerings, the sin and the trespass offering, constitute the non-sweet offerings. This, or the statement for a sweet savor, is omitted because they were making reparation and satisfaction for the offense of sin. Right? You know, there's this debate. Are we sinners or aren't we sinners? Yes and no. Right? It'll confuse a lot of folks. We're no longer sinners. We sing that song, right? But we still haven't measured up to the... You see, I'm not looking at, you know, little individual acts. No. I understand God has saved me. So in that dimension, I'm no longer a sinner. But I also understand that He's saving my mind. The whole man, which will also include a continuation of the body. I really do believe this, and don't misunderstand my words. We get the mind right, I think everything else falls in place. Because the spirit's already right. Okay? But it's more than just a mental assent and just thinking right and being able to quote the Bible and being able to teach it. It's more than that. All right, are you with me? These two offerings were the expiation of sin and also are called expiatory offerings, all right? In these, Jesus Christ identifies Himself with the sinner and offers Himself for us to God as our representative for sin. Not one of you jumped up off your chairs and ran around this place. We've heard it so much we're not even excited. Do you realize what He did for us? Oh, yeah. No, I mean what He really did for us. It's a work that you and I could not do. I mean, we should be having church right now. You want to go home and feel good tonight? I was in church. No, you weren't bored tonight. How come? Because I heard every one of these offerings typifies who He is and what He's done and what He's doing and how He'll finish it in our lives. He offered Himself for us as my representative, that I didn't have to become the one who hung on a cross, a literal cross. Okay, you won't do it. Hallelujah. I'm so excited I can't hide it. I told you. You don't believe me. It's really true. One of your biggest tests will ever be, always be, is the familiarity of my voice. I guarantee you, I've watched enough people. I've been in enough churches and I've heard enough things. The pastor could sit there and declare the same thing and some new guy comes in off the street and declares it and the place is swinging from the chandelier. It's true. I literally talked to my parents when they were here in February and we talked about some things and we had some things you can't preach that stuff, you can't say that stuff. And I literally just watched someone come into their church and watch the video a few weeks ago and they said the same things that I said in my living room and the place was swinging from the chandeliers. And I asked the question, I poked the bear. How come if I said those things? As we judge people in their words and not the spirit. We think we're exempt. We're not. I'm telling you, He hung on a cross. He became our representative. He died, watch this, to satisfy and please the Father to do what? I can't handle a verbal beating. Thank you, Jesus. What you did for me. And you did it, oh God, that I might be one member in a whole body. Watch this. This is the big news flash. This will be the greatest revelation most Christians can ever get, that God sets in the body as it pleases Him. That's losing my identification and whatever I think that He said to me. Are you with me? Now watch this. The principle of restitution is also revealed here. Are you all right? You okay? I'm going to stop there tonight. I know. Listen to me. How many major offerings? Five. What's the number five represent? Grace. 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 Grace leads us, doesn't it? Grace has brought us this far. It's grace that will bring us into where He wants. But we must have grace with faith. And faith and obedience. I don't know about you, but it says a threefold cord cannot what? I can get all hung up on just faith. I can get all hung up on just grace. I can get all hung up on just obedience. But the three of them wrapped together. Whew. Hot diggity dog. It can't be broken. It can't be broken. It can't be broken. Two is a, you know, two of them, but no, but three of them. Five major offerings. Three are what? Voluntary. They're sweet smelling. That's why they're sweet, because you're willing to give. You won't hold back. Truthfully, I'm telling you, Nathaniel, can I say this to you, son? I watched you up there playing today, and I could hear the Spirit of the Lord. I said, Lord, I could hear Brother Willie Henn, the time we went over there. There's the prophet of God. 5 years old, that's how old you were, the prophet of God. And I believe that the Lord is saying that word has never changed no matter what you do. But you still have a responsibility to fulfill it. And you're able. Watch this with faith, grace, and obedience. Because I really do believe this. We all have assignments. It's not just the body that's waiting for it. It's God. A sweet-smelling savor. An offering that He enjoys. Now, I'm going to make fun of Sherry. Whenever I cook on the grill, she always says, oh, you smell like it's barbecue you. It smells good. Well, if that smells good to her, just think, well, to God. Not me cooking on the grill, but the sweet-smelling savor. Are you with me? And the other two are not voluntary. We've all sinned and fallen short. Not my righteousness, but His. My righteousness is what? Well, He did away with all my old life. That's right. But I still have to walk by faith. See, if it was all, you know, if I was 100% complete, I wouldn't need faith. Wouldn't need grace. Wouldn't need to be obedient because I already would be. Are you all right tonight? Did I preach you happy? The truth of the matter is the greatest days are now and ahead. I really believe that. Amen? Well, praise God. Let's stand. Father, we love you. Oh, hallelujah. Can you give him a little praise? Are you thankful tonight that he became your representative? That he really paid the price, didn't he? I don't know, you know, I don't really know if we know really the depths of whatever. You know, we talk about it, but, you know, I mean, really, seriously. We're 21st century Americans living in the lap of luxury and comfort, and I thank God every day for it. But he didn't, listen, God didn't show up just to naturally bless me. He's got a much bigger picture in mind, and I'll enjoy that while we can, but I'm telling you, God's after something more. And so, God, because of that, Father, I pray tonight that we will continue to yield ourselves to you. A sweet-smelling offering. And that God, in the midst of it, that every bit of things that fall short of your glory, God, will be removed, eradicated. A true holy God. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We honor you, Jesus. Hallelujah, with the lips, oh God. I think it says like this, the calves of our lips, the offerings, the sacrifices, not mere lip service, but out of the abundance of our heart, God. We love you, Jesus. We love you. We praise you, Jesus. God, as we ascend, as we continue to climb upward, that full expression that we see at the top of the ladder, we can bring right back down. Whew. That new Jerusalem cometh down, Father. That your glory will be seen in all the earth. I'm telling you, you know what God's glory is to be seen? It's not a bunch of superhuman beings. It's a corporate man that can walk together as one. They know their place. They don't break rank. Go read the book of Joel. They don't thrust one another. They're not trying to be somebody that God never asked them to be. It's Joshua's army that knows how to march. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. Well, praise God.